Amen. Hallelujah. You know, God has an order of things. Amen. You believe that? All things that God does is He desires you to be in agreement with Him. Amen. Now remember, I can't run tonight. So I want to read a couple of scriptures. We've been in 2 Samuel. Amen. Come on, you've enjoyed that. My wife talked about it. Say breakthrough. Now, how many of you guys know that we serve a God of the breakthrough? Amen. And the key to it is to understand that we're not supposed to. I know that we're not meant just to live in partial breakthrough. Come on, amen. But we're supposed to live day to day. His mercies are new. Say, there's new breakthrough every day. There's new breakthrough every day. There's a breakthrough every day that we begin to understand that and begin to walk in that, begin to take hold of that and digest that into our spirit. Amen. Come on, you got to make it known. You got to meditate on these things. We got to think of that's something that God really put on my heart was just thinking about things and just trying to, like, things that are on my heart and begin to meditate upon them and begin to just rehearse them in my mind. Amen? Because sometimes we let things just pass by without addressing it or grabbing hold of it and letting it digest into me. Amen? That's what we're to do. Amen? To take hold of the Word and let it become part of you. Let it be your being. Let it be the breath that you breathe. Amen? Come breathe in, breathe out. Hallelujah. Amen? Is He good?
I'm good.
Thank you, though. You can have it ready for next week. Good. Amen. So, we've been talking about breakthrough, and we've talked about some of the keys, and I don't know if some of you haven't been here. We've been talking about breakthrough, and we've been talking about how that David experienced breakthrough in different areas. And we see that David went through different things in his life, and we can learn from that. We can take hold of it and digest it and see what did he do? What was the difference? Remember this. We talked about it before and I'm going to rehearse it again because I believe if we don't get a hold of it, then I can just preach another message. But if we get a hold of it, then it can change things. That he said that he inquired of the Lord. Amen? That he inquired of the Lord. That's something that David did, that we have a heart after God. Amen? See, David inquired of the Lord. He wanted God's heart for the matter. He wanted God's heart for the situation. He wanted God's heart for the faith thing he was facing. So many times we face things and we're so used to doing it, be self-centered or self-motivated or self-defiant or whatever it is, and trying to do it our way and doing it the way that we think it should be done or the way the fastest it should be done, instead of waiting and saying, God, I'm an acquirer of you. God, if you tell me to stay, I'll stay. If you tell me to go, I'm going to go. Whatever it is. So it is conditioning your heart to be at a place where that you're desiring to hear from God. I want you to know that just hearing from God is something, especially when you begin to mature in God, is something that comes from inquiring to hear from Him. Amen? That means if I want to hear from God, I need to call on Him. Hallelujah. Come on, amen. I need to make a phone call. I need to inquire of the Lord. I need to ask of the Lord. I need to seek of the Lord. I need to reach to God. Amen. So there's an understanding that David had to begin with breakthrough has to be an inquiring of God. And then we learned that we could see that when he defeated the enemies, the one of the things that they had to keep breakthrough, say keep breakthrough going, is not to pick up what the God has defeated and taken from our enemies, things that have tried to overtake you. David was told, do not pick them back up again. Tell someone, don't pick it up again. That means hurts from the past, things that have happened. Come on, amen. Sometimes God will deliver us and we'll walk out of this place tonight and pick up things that are in our past. Things that have scarred us, things that sometimes cause us to come out of our mouth that shouldn't come out of our mouth. Instead of letting the praises of our God be on our lips. But I want breakthrough. Come on, amen. I want breakthrough. Hallelujah. I don't want the same old, same old. I don't want to pick up those things that are in the past and keep carrying things, baggage, amen. Because if you're going to take off, the first thing you need to do when you're in an airport is leave your baggage. Check in your baggage. Tell someone, check your baggage. You ain't taking off until you check your baggage. So breakthrough came after they weren't picking up that old in the past. So we could see here that some things happen. You all right? Okay. I thought I was doing something wrong because I thought she gave me a dirty look. So listen, the thing we learned is we talked about this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you could take a look at that, I want to kind of gather this up. And how many of you guys know that David did something and David had a heart? Sometimes we jump into things and we still got to stop and we need to wait on God. We need to seek God, even though sometimes it seems like it's okay. Come on. There's things that we do that seem okay, amen, that seem right, but they don't always turn out right. Because I want you to know, because God sees all things, we need to trust Him for the matters that we can't see, even though we think this might be the right matter. How many of you ever went into situations thinking this might be the right thing to do, and you did it, and wish that you did it? Anybody here? Come on, amen. Wish that you did not do that thing. Amen. Wish that you did not do that. Come on. There's a lot of things that we've done. And I want you to know that David was about ready to experience something that he did without inquiring the Lord. He thought it was the right thing to do. He thought it was the right thing to do. Not always what we think is right is right. Sometimes we got to get a check within us. Sometimes we got to stop and maybe what you think is right in your own mind isn't right. Maybe what you think is somebody's acting this way or that way. You think you know the answers. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't know what's going on. Maybe you don't know what's happening underneath the waters. Maybe you don't know the things that are existing or the things that are that's pertaining to that person. And we have to be sensitive. We have to know. We have to inquire of God for all things. And I said this again because it really struck me as I was when I stood there. It says that we as long as the light we are in the world, we are the light. God, I mean, I want to be light and everywhere I go. I want to be the light to the world because He's in me. I want to be that lighthouse. Come on, amen. I might be that last hope, that last voice to somebody before the edge, before they go the other direction, or before they get hurt, or before they get broken. So 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there hath no temptation. You know what? Can you bump up one, I think? Yeah, where let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Listen, there's things sometimes in our life that we think we got this. Say, I got this. We need to hesitate for a minute. We need to stop and we say, no. God, only if you got this do I got this. And he says, next verse, and he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, but God. Say, but God. He's faithful. Come on, amen. He's faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I want you to know that God has an escape clause. Come on, amen. God has a way out of every, He is the way. And I want you to know that He's got a way out, hallelujah. Not just a way into situations or promises or broke, but He has a way out of things. Come on, amen. Sometimes we seek God. Sometimes we seek God for the answers to things. We want to know why. Come on, amen. I want you to know that I've found out that God doesn't always tell me the why, but God will tell me who He is. God will reveal Himself. And if you stop to think about it, that's all I need. Hallelujah. I don't always need to know the why, because sometimes the why just leads to another why. But if I know Him, hallelujah, and He reveals Himself to me, I want you to know that's where I get breakthrough. So it's inquiring of Him. So no matter what, so He says to bear it, to be able to bear it. I want you to know that here's what David did. We're going to jump right into this thing. So David and his men, they went after the ark. They went to go get the presence, say the presence of God. They went to go inquire. They went to bring the presence of God, the pool, and they went and they found a cart. There was a cart, and they had the tabernacle, or the ark of God was on the wagon. And we talked about that. What's a wagon? Boards and big wheels. So we didn't get that last time. Boards, big wheels. Instead of letting God make the decision, sometimes we try to take hold of it or control it. Say control it. I want you to know this is an example of man's made trying to control a situation. Trying to get a handle on things. You know what? We're just like this. Because we try to get a handle of things. We it's within us to handle things. Amen. God put it within us because we are created in His image and likeness. But I want you to know in our own flesh we can't do it. But I want you to know that we can through God. Amen. So here He is. So they did all this stuff. And as they moved it, it says, and they put a cart. And He says, and they brought it out to the house of Abinadab. And He says, and David and all the house, they played and they thought they were doing the right things. It says, and when they came to the threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Say, shook it. And they stumbled. That's what we do. Listen, especially, I want you to know that I just had a knee injury, but it was out of my control. I hate being out of control. I like to provide. I'm going out there and doing my thing. Not to be held back. And when I left, I believe God was already telling me something beforehand. And this happened, this happened on a Thursday. And I thought things were getting better. Went to the hospital, that's a whole other story. But I thought it was just a certain, you know, my wife was telling me, you need to rest. Well, Wednesday night, I left to go to church 2 weeks ago. And as I was walking out the door, my knee popped. Like it popped. I mean, hurt it, felt it, and I couldn't move. And I felt so out of control. I felt so like I couldn't control my surroundings, my world, I was dependent upon everything, on my wife, on just to go to the bathroom. She wouldn't let me get up. Not the other one, sir. Let's not get too. But thanks to Renee, she got me a nice bottle. So, but I just want us to realize that sometimes we try to control situations, and I believe in the midst of this that God was speaking to my heart that even though I don't have control, I can be in control. Even though it doesn't feel like I'm in control. Come on, amen. That He is. Come on, because I'm in His hands. Amen. I am His hands. Amen. I'm in the hands of God. So as much as it doesn't look like I'm in control, but we try to hold on to that. We try to grab hold of it. We try to make sense of the matters. Come on, amen. Why did this happen? Why right now? Right now. Well, that couldn't happen in January. When it's cold outside. You know what I'm saying? So these were questions that I was asking to handle things. But God has an order in how He works and how He works out of things. And I want you to know that I wrote this down. God's building us into Him. I just really began to think about that. And I began to think about a fabric. I began to think about how that He's weaving Himself into every fabric and every part of my being. I just want you to catch this. I want you to know that this is something that God really spoke to my heart where I was at. That He wants to be woven into every part of your being. Every area. Every hidden place. Everything that you think you have control of. God wants to be woven into the midst of it. God wants to abide in it. And I want you to know that God does not do anything outside of that. That's His desire. That's His desire, is to be woven in the fabric of my life, into the story of my life. Oh. From the moment I was born, God began to be woven within my life, in your life. And as we open ourselves to Him, God begins to weave Himself in the midst of every area of our lives. And it brings forth color, brings forth design, brings forth beauty. And understanding and things. As we let God be woven in the midst of the very fabric of my being. That's His desire. To be woven in the midst of us. Amen?
And that's why we got to understand that God does things in the midst of here, right here, right here. Come on, amen. Right here with us, right here in the midst of us. That God wants to weave Himself in the midst of each and every one of you. That we would know one another, that we'd be encouraged by one another, that we could be strengthened. Come on, that we would be challenged. Come on, amen. That God will use those in the midst of you. Come on, amen. To bring you out of your comfort zone so that you feel like you have no control. Amen. Amen. Because He'll bring you to those places. And He let David do that because David didn't inquire. Maybe if David inquired and said, how do you want me to approach this matter, God? How do I do this thing? But David stepped out and he tried to control the situation just like every one of us. We try to control it. But God had a reason. He wanted to weave Himself in the midst of... He wanted them to participate. He wanted them to be part of this whole thing. Come on, amen. It just wasn't a certain group of people. God will never do something just through one church. I promise you this. That's not the heart of God. God's going to do it through a body. Amen? It's not going to happen just through one church. It might start or move, but I want you to know that the heart of God is to do it in all His body. The whole body. Or nobody. See, Joshua, he learned a valuable lesson too because he was trying to get a hold of the matter. He says that, listen, I don't want to put too much on all the people. He says, listen, he was going to go to Ai and fight a battle. And he told his troop, he says, listen, don't take everybody, but leave some of them at home. They don't need to bear this. And as soon as they got up there, they were defeated. Come on, amen. They were defeated. We need to let one another bear it together. Come on, amen. We need one another. If we don't understand how woven we are as a body together, we won't get it. Come on. You don't understand the heart of God. They will know that they are my disciples by their love for one another. That they're woven together. Come on, amen. That they're woven together. They're knitted together. I want you know how hard it is to rip a woven piece of fabric out of them. To try to get that individual piece ripped out of the midst of that thing. Come on, amen. And it leaves damage. But I want us to understand how important we are. How valuable we are one another. To even through the midst of our situations. And David began to learn that, amen. So I just want you to hear this. And he tried to hold on to it. He tried to grab hold of it. To control it. Romans 13:14. I'm going to try to get these help. Are you all right? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh. Say, put on Christ. Be clothed with Him. Let Him cover you. Let it be the first thing that you do is to put on Christ. See, I just want you to understand that what I'm talking about, the fabric, is put on Christ. Let Him be woven into your non-important things. The little things. The things that you don't think mean much. Because it's in those moments where we learn to hear from God. It's in those moments that when things do get rough, that we already know how to hear from God. We've already know how to put on Christ. Amen. We know how to lift up our praises whenever it's raining. Come on. Amen. We know how to declare in the midst of a battlefield that God is great. Amen. That our enemies are defeated because we put on Christ. Put ye on Christ. Put Him on. 1 Peter 5. I just want to give you these scriptures. 6 and 10. Humble yourselves. Get over yourself. Tell someone, get over yourself. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Maybe the time is taking longer because you need to humble yourself. Maybe you need to humble yourself and get over yourself. Sometimes we do need to just get over ourselves. Sometimes we enjoy misery. I've been a pastor a long time, and I'm telling you right now, no one can deny that. I know that people sometimes enjoy misery. And sometimes it's their only company. Come on, amen. But we are the light of the world. And he says, humble yourselves, casting, say casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. There's an exchange right there. He says, put on Christ. Amen. He cares for you. All those things you have anxiety for, all the things you care for, all the things that are taking your time, come on, that are participating your time with him, give it to God. Amen. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand. Cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, whose adversary? Your adversary, not God's. Say not God's. The devil's not God's adversary. Come on, amen. The enemy's been defeated. Come on. But I want you to know that I have to understand that the enemy, to me, could be my enemy. But in Christ, come on, amen, when I'm clothed with Christ, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary devil is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom, don't let him devour you. Come on, amen. Whom resisteth steadfast in faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It's happened to other people too. People are suffering. People suffer. Should we just get that and know that everybody here, I just want to, sometimes we avoid this. We don't want to suffer. Nobody wants to suffer. But it happens. If you're going to have any meaningful relationship, you might lose somebody. And at that moment, sometimes it's the hardest thing in the world. You know why? Because you realize you're not in control. There's things that are out of your control that you can't get a handle on. But it's in those moments, come on, amen, God might not tell you why, but God will show you who he is. It's in those moments, come on, our victories taken hold of, where things begin to, you get a peace within you that passes your understanding of the matter. Come on, amen. Sometimes you got to let God's peace get in front of my understanding. I'm going to say it again. You got to let God's peace get in front of your understanding. Sometimes people want to get understanding and God's peace. No. You got to get the peace, and then guess what? It'll pass on your understanding. You don't need it anymore. Because why? Because God's great. He's got a handle on this thing. Amen? He says, but the God of grace, who hath called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he suffered a while, that you might suffer a while, that you might suffer, that you might suffer. He says, you might suffer. He said, but listen to this, a while. But make you perfect, establish you, stable you, say stable you, and strengthen you and settle you. See, that's what God desires to do. He wants to settle you. He wants to stable you. You can't do it, but let God can. Amen? First Peter, I'm there. Never mind. He says, in the glory of dominion, blah, 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 blah. Amen. He says, where it cures you. That's it, yeah. So listen, I want you to see this. What time is it? All right, I'm good. We got to do communion, but. Are you okay? The anger of the Lord. Say the anger of the Lord. And it's funny, that word anger means breath. It means it's a symbol. It's a sign of that you see it in the nostrils, in the breath of that matter. And I want you to know, what did Uzzah lose? He lost his breath. He lost his life, in a sense, where that when he lost the presence of God, when he lost the absence of God being in control, come on, amen, that he lost his life. Now, I want you to see this, that in the midst of that, where that he held back his breath. I want us to see this and understand how powerful it is that we see that the importance of accessing God in every environment, in every situation. It's like breath. Breathe in. Come on, amen. Breathe out. It's a constant. It's something that we realize that God's presence is as real as that. Amen. It's breathing. Come on, amen. We see that and understand that. It's breathing. It's taking hold of it. That his presence is real and it's life. And it says, and he smote him. He says, there for his error. And that word error means this. It means negligent. It means deceived, misled, or seduced. I want you to know that he was in error because he was negligent to the presence of God, for God being there to help, for God being there to inquire of, for him to be there to receive. He lost something because he didn't inquire of God. He was seduced into thinking, I've got to get this under control. That's why it's so important that we seek God, that we don't inquire of our own strength, our own ability, because it'll seduce you. You got this. No, you won't. I can handle this. I can get my emotions under control. Or I can get through this thing. No, no, no. You can't. Don't neglect it. And so he lost his life because he neglected. He was seduced. He was pulled aside. Adam and Eve were seduced. They neglected. They erred of how much they needed the presence of God in the midst of them. So we could see this. And he says, so, and they were seduced of this. And so, and he says, and David was displeased. Come on, he was mad. He was upset with what God did. But I want you to see the importance of, because he didn't inquire of the Lord, it was affected those around him. You see how powerful that is? That your inquiring of God can touch everybody around you. You inquiring of God presents something different than what you might have had before. It brings life. It brings purpose. It brings the Spirit of God into people. So when you come here tonight, when you walked into this house, that we bring something. You have the breath of God in your mouth. You have the Spirit of God in your mouth. Come on, amen? And it doesn't just go away after service. You carry it with you. No matter where you are, you carry that with you. The presence of God. So if we see that, understand that, how powerful that is, that we don't neglect it, that we don't reject it. Now, I don't have time to get in it, but I began to think about something also, because it just keeps, it's alive. The Word of God's alive. So when I began to think about how that they tried to control the ark, and they tried to control the matter in their own strength, is it began to make me think of witnessing. It began to make me think that sometimes that's our strategy, that we try to force the presence of God upon people. We try to force what we think is God upon somebody. If you do this, I know you need to do this right now. Just think about that. I mean, and that is sometimes it stops to think and think, wow, man, the importance of us witnessing. How do I witness? How do I realize? How do I see the importance of how I witness to somebody? Am I forcing this or am I just being? Because it's in my breath. Well, you know, some of the most powerful witness tools is just using the example of His love and blessing somebody, encouraging somebody. Not looking into trying to find something or salt. No, no, just love one another. Just be there for somebody. Maybe that person just needs you. There's times when I was at a different place where I was, where I get a phone call from somebody or whatever it is, and would encourage me or say something to you. It means the world to me. If someone would take time to do that. I want you to know some of the most powerful examples are just when somebody, listen, even the world knows how to be nice. How much more do we have? I heard a story about a man that he said that he was in an airport. He just lost his father. He was in a devastating place. And he was walking through, he said, I'm just going to go get a coffee. It was Christmas Eve. He went up to the counter and a lady that was there said, hey, how you doing? Good. What would you like? He says, I want a pumpkin latte. She goes, you got it. She goes, well, I'll make it really special for you. Put some whipped cream in there, do all this stuff. He says, oh, nice. She goes, where are you going? And began to talk to him. Began to open up. Began to speak to him. I want to know, she used to begin to... And he was so overwhelmed by it. He walked away and he was like, man, that touched me. I don't know why that is like really affected me. Here's this lady on Christmas Eve in an airport serving coffee. And there's something about her that changed me. And he says that he went all the way through the airport. He said, I cannot leave. He went back and he says, why are you so happy? What is it with you that just serving coffee? She goes, I'm not serving coffee. He said, but I'm serving happiness. He said, that cup of coffee changed and put a mark in my life. Poked me. Caused me to be aware of what am I doing to create happiness around me. Those are wrong. So I want you to know that it wasn't something towards you. It was just being. It's just letting who God is in you come out of you. Amen? So, let me finish here. I could have preached a whole sermon on that, but I was pushing God on somebody. Amen? I wrote this down. Our Lord was never impatient. He was never impatient with people because they didn't change. He was never impatient. He simply planted seeds of thoughts in their minds and surrounded them with the atmosphere of His own life. of what he had, because what he had was greater than what they chose, than where they were. So the atmosphere of his presence was being woven within them of right where they were. We want to grab people by the scuff of their neck, lead them to the altar. I had a man do that to me one time. It didn't work. It made me more angry. He grabbed me and said, "It's time to repent." I wasn't ready. Come on, amen. But what did change me was somebody with the atmosphere of God around them that loved me, like my sister, in spite of who I was, didn't grab me by my neck, but loved me, changed me. So as he said, and it says in the Lord, and I want you to see here real quick, and he says that he was displeased with God. How many of you have ever been angry with God? Come on, I want you to hear this though. Listen, I want you to, and I could say this because sometimes, if I don't always get angry with God, is sometimes it's because I wasn't seeking his advice. So there wasn't an opportunity for me not to get what I wanted. But listen, I want you to hear this. Sometimes we get displeased. Sometimes we're looking for an answer with God. And I said this before, that God will not always tell you the why, but he'll tell you who he is and reveal who he is in the midst of it. And that's what we need. But sometimes we do get angry. Sometimes, and I want you to know, tell someone it's okay. And here's why I could say that. Because we could look at Psalm 77. And I said this before, because if somebody was in this church, heard somebody praying this way, they would run to my office and grab me and beg me to come and cause this person to repent because of what they're crying out. Why have you forsaken me? Why aren't you with me, God? Let's just look at it just for a second. Amen? Because you might not believe me. Because I'm telling you, as a pastor, if I heard this prayer, he says, and I cried with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of the trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran night, and it ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God, and I was troubled. I remembered God, and I was troubled. He says, I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. He says, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I am considered the days of my old, the years of my ancient times. I call to remembrance my song of the night. Listen, I want you to hear something. I want you to see that there is a process, okay, through the things that we go through to get through things in our lives. David was experiencing something because God didn't answer the way he thought it could. We want to get a handle on things. And the only way is we need to go through the process of grieving. We need to go through the process of inquiring of God. Because you need to let this out of you sometimes. Come on, amen? Because if you don't let it out to God, you'll let it out to somebody. You might think that God's angry at you, or God's mean, or God's disappointing, and not say it, but it'll come out of you. Trust me, I've been in church. And there's people that have not went through the grieving process. And because of it, they're representing God in a way that need not be represented. So go through the process. Cry out to God. Tell him your heart. But don't stay there. Because it goes on to say that he said that he began to remember the promises of God. Come on, amen. There's a process. Come on. There's another level. He began to go to the next place. He began to remember the process. Come on. It began to remember. He began to remind himself of what God can do. He began to remind him. He began to cry out to God. And he began to declare it. And then the next process is you need to walk it out in faith. Whatever you begin to declare, walk it out. Come on. We sing praises in this house. You need to let those praises be part of your life. You need to walk it out. You need to declare what I am preaching. Come on. I am not called just to bury you or marry you. I'm going to say it again. I am not called here just to bury you or marry you. I'm more than that. Hear me. I'm more than that. I'm more than that. I believe that God places me here to speak into your lives, into my life, and to declare things. So that we could be and require of God, that we could seek God, so that He could be woven into our fabric. It's not just, I don't want to just be a voice that said something and it just goes nowhere. But I want it to settle within us. So we go through process. He says that it became part of their very being as He walked out. Amen? You can come on up now. We're going to go ahead and get going. And He says He displeased. It's in those moments where you can't discern the presence of God. I want you to hear this. I want to say it again. That sometimes in moments you can't discern the presence of God. You don't know, you can't make out what's going on. You can't discern it. We like to discern things. We like to know what's happening. Come on. Sometimes it's those people that come around me that always have the answers. They're so far out of control. Everybody who says that they know everything or have all the answers for the situation, be careful. I found that out. Come on, amen? But here's what He said. He said this. Let me finish this. Give me a week to get on my feet, guys. I'm trying to stay calm. It's hard for me to do that. Here we go. Let me wrap this up. Hey, can we do more?
The second to last song.
Yeah. All right, good. Thank you. Listen, David was afraid. They're going to get the kids right now, so we're good, all right? And David was afraid of the Lord. I want you to know that sometimes, see, what he believed of God, what he thought of God at that moment wasn't correct. Come on. He was afraid of God. Of what you believe, listen, whatever you believe, if it doesn't cause you to love God, it's not the truth. I'm going to say it again. If what you believe is what your belief system is, if it doesn't cause you to run to God and to love God, come on, amen, and not run from God, it's not true. But if it brings you to a place so that you're desperate for Him, it's truth. So I want you to know that this is what David did. It was okay to be there because he wasn't going to stay there. We know David because he's a seeker of God. Come on, amen. We need to have that heart. We're a seeker of God. Man, I'm not going to stay angry at God. Come on, amen. But I'm going to seek His face. I'm not going to let this corrupt my very being. Come on. My image of God in my life. Of who I am. What potential we have. But he said this, and I love this. And he says, and so David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? That was the first beginning. How shall the ark come to me? I'm not going to try to, I'm asking God to come to me. And I'm not going to move or I'm not going to come back to this point again. Until I hear from God. Until I know what He wants me to do. And this is what God wanted me to do. Because I want you to get the people. He says, and they're going to worship. And they're going to lift up the ark together. Because I want to be in the midst of them. And when you understand that, you'll love people more. You understand it's God's, you're His way in the midst of places that won't invite Him. Places and people that God, that aren't coming to church or aren't looking for God, you are His way in the midst of it. Come on, amen? Stand your feet. So I just seek that you seek that from your heart, is to ask God and to seek God, amen? And just everything I said, just realize this, and take hold of this, everything else, is God wants to be woven in the fabric of your life. Every part. Every hidden place, every stitch. Every area. That He would be woven within the midst of me. Amen? Heavenly Father, I just pray right now, God, as we've come to commune with You, God. To bask, hallelujah, in the understanding of who we are in You, in the light of that, God. The God, Lord, that it passes all understanding is knowing that you, hallelujah, and what you've given, what you have sacrificed, that we could be woven into you. So Lord, I just pray right now, God, Lord, that we take this into our hearts as we partake of all that you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that there be a depth within our inquiring of you. Pray to God, Lord, that it goes beyond, to God, Lord, the we're seeking you for solutions and major problems. But God, Lord, that we hear that you desire to be woven in the midst of the mundane. The very fabric of our family, of our church, our chaos. Though that you have opportunity in the midst of that to breathe upon whatever situation we're facing. God, Lord, I ask you, God, Lord, that we be a people here that inquire of you. That we be inquirers of God. Lord, I just ask that in your name. We pray. We'll be blessed and highly favored. In Jesus' name. Come on. Bless somebody. Give somebody a hug. Tell someone you love them.